yet experienced baptism. And I'm not talking about experienced baptism at St. Dunstan's. I'm just talking generally. Because if you are baptized, you are baptized. And claim it. But if you're not baptized and are interested in it, I would love to talk with you about how this water can help direct your life as well. Today, we are reflecting on the sixth baptismal covenant, which is an addition. It's a growth in our baptismal understanding. If you open up the green books of alternative services, which aren't in here because we project everything, but if you were to open them up, you would find that this sixth baptismal covenant is not written in the book. You have to go to the internets to find it. But let me just say it to you. Will you strive to safeguard the integrity of God's creation and respect, sustain, and renew the life of the earth? And our response is, we will with God's help. So let's try that. Will you strive to safeguard the integrity of God's creation and respect, sustain, and renew the life of the earth? So to get at this baptismal covenant, I'd like to go by way of Isaiah. And to get to Isaiah, I'd like to go by way of Hollywood. There are three different types of movies. There are way more than three types of movies. But for my purpose this morning, there are three types of movies, okay? There are the regular movies. These are the movies about everyday life. You watch the movie and you could be there because it's reflecting how the world is now. Then there are these wonderful movies. I wonder if you've seen them. And they're zombie movies. Okay? These are apocalyptic, end-of-the-world movies. Does anyone ever watch or enjoy watching apocalyptic, end-of-the-world movies? Yeah, some of us? Yeah. They're thrilling. Aren't they thrilling to see the super tsunami come and cover Mount Everest and everyone's screaming, ah, it's the end of the world. It's the end of the world. And then there is the third category, again, for the sake of my argument, the post-apocalyptic movies. These are the movies where the apocalypse has happened and now people are trying to live their lives. In some ways, zombie movies cover this as well. Right? Something has happened, everyone's zombies, and now we need to survive. Or there's a great movie, I forget who puts it out, I think it's called City of Ember. This is in 2008, where people, we enter into the movie and people are living in a city underground. We don't know why they're living in a city underground, but they've been living there for 200 years. We get a sense that the Earth's crust can no longer support life. Something devastating happened to the Earth, some environmental catastrophe, and these people have been living under the Earth for 200 years. And when the designers of this city designed the city for people to live in, they also designed a little box that would open up after 200 years so that the people would know how to get out of the City of Ember and into the world again. But as it so happens, as history moves on, people forget about the box. And the whole movie is about how one person is trying to control the people and keep people into the City of Ember, and it's a group of kids who are trying to find the way out of the City of Ember. And the last scene is they open up this portal, and there they see the sunset for the first time. Anyone's seen it in 200? It's a beautiful, though, you know, Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 50%. It's a beautiful movie, a post-apocalyptic movie. And why I like that post-apocalyptic movie rather than the zombie movies, though they're thrilling and exciting, is that there's a glimpse at the end of hope. There's a glimpse of a sunrise or a sunset. There's a glimpse of life that is beyond just merely struggle. Okay? Regular movies, apocalyptic movies, post-apocalyptic movies. Okay? Let's get into Isaiah. Scholars suggest that Isaiah was written not by one person, but by a bunch of people through a series of decades, maybe even centuries. They suggest that the first part of Isaiah talks to a people who are established in their land, but there are thunderclouds on the horizon. They're not following the law of God. God is going to punish them if they don't follow the love of God. And the prophet is there to warn them, watch out, you must follow the law of God or else. The second book of Isaiah takes place in exile. So obviously something happened. Obviously God's people did not listen to the warnings of the prophets and now have found themselves in exile. It is their apocalypse. And the prophet's message to the people in exile is, comfort, comfort my people. God is with you even where you are now. I know that I have punished you, but don't worry, I will hold you and I will love you and I will come to you. And a child shall be born. And you shall call his name Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God. And then there's the third book of Isaiah, chapters 55 to 66, where we get our reading from chapter 58 this morning. Third Isaiah seems to take place after the exiles have returned home. So, something has happened again. The post-apocalypse has happened. The people have come back to be established in their home. And the message of the prophet Isaiah in 3rd Isaiah is, did you guys not get it? Stop hurting one another. Remember what happened when you hurt people before? Just because you're back doesn't mean you can now hurt people again. There is regular Isaiah, apocalyptic Isaiah, and post-apocalyptic Isaiah. And all of these Isaiahs have one message. Follow the command of God. It doesn't matter if you are living in regular times, in apocalyptic times, or in post-apocalyptic times. Follow the commands of God. It doesn't matter if you're living before the exile, during the exile, or after the exile, follow the commands of God. It doesn't matter if you're living before there's environmental crises. It doesn't matter if you're living while the environmental crisis is occurring. And it doesn't matter whether you're living after the environmental crisis has taken place. Follow the commands of God. So what are these commands of God? Well, Jesus gives us some insight into that. Because the command is the same before, during, and after. The command is the same. Be salt. Preserve the world around you. Hold on to the world around you. Give a sense of flavor to the world around you. Give a sense of meaning and purpose and beauty to the world around you. And be light. Uncover the things in your heart that seem to get you into rhythms of violence or apathy that devastate the world around you. Be light. Shine light in your heart and shine light in the world. Highlight those things in the world that seem to destroy rather than build up. Jesus has not come to abolish the law because the law says the same thing from beginning to end. Love. Be salt. Be light. Love. Take care of the gift that I have given you. Take care of the people around you. Make sure that you aren't harming people. Make sure you're not letting someone harm someone else. Take care even of this world. Whether there's an environmental crisis or not, take care of this world. Scientists suggest we are at the brink of an environmental crisis, so what should we do? Take care of the world. Some people are calling for the end of the world, that we've gone too far, that tomorrow might be the last day. What do? We take care of the world. And when we find ourselves in the tomorrow, when we find ourselves in the post-apocalypse, who knows what it will look like? What do? We take care of the world. We do not get distracted by our comforts now. We do not get distracted by the fear of apocalypse now. We do not get distracted of the wonder what tomorrow will look like. We just stick to work and take care of the world. Talking about the environment raises a lot of anxiety. raises a lot of anxiety in my heart, in my kids' hearts. I don't know about your heart. My family's from Calgary. It raises a huge amount of anxiety talking about the environment there. That's such a distraction. It's such a distraction to become defensive in the face of life, in the face of reality, in the face of morning, afternoon, and night. Instead, let us do what the prophets have always said. Let us do what Jesus calls us to do. And let's take care of this world. Will you strive to safeguard the integrity of God's creation and respect, sustain, and renew the life of the earth? But what if it's too late? What if there's nothing you can do? What if we've gone past the point of no return when it comes to environmental crisis? Will you strive to safeguard the integrity of God's creation and respect, sustain, and renew the life of the earth? What if it means you have to change the way you live your life? What if it means you can no longer just take what you want? What if it means that you have to give and wonder about what you are taking from the earth and what you're giving to the earth? Will you strive to safeguard the integrity of God's creation and respect, sustain, and renew the life of the earth? What if it's really hard? What if there's no more food? What if there's no more sunrise? What if there's no more sunset? What if the coronavirus comes here? What if the SARS virus comes here? What if there's drought? And what if there's flood? And what if there is red moons and there's asteroids hitting the earth? Will you strive to safeguard the integrity of God's creation and respect, sustain, and renew the life of the earth? I am so grateful for your faith and for your commitment. Let us pray.
With the prayers of the people, you are invited to assume a prayerful position. To the bidding, God of creation, the response is, hear our prayer. God of creation, hear our prayer. Loving Father and Creator of all, we come to you today deeply grateful of your creation. As we look around, we are amazed at the greatness and majesty of all that you have made. Nature around us speaks of your greatness. The vast expanse of the sky, the mountains, trees, lakes, and streams speak of your great design. You have given us such beauty in the color of the rainbow, the beauty of the flowers and fields. Words cannot adequately express the magnificence of all you have created. May we show our love and reverence to you, Lord, by caring for all that you have created. God of creation, hear our prayer. Creator God, we pray for the oceans, seas, rivers, lakes, streams, ponds, marshes, and swamps of our planet. We give you thanks for water's gift of life and nourishment. Help us to be worthy stewards of this great gift so that we can safeguard its purity, so that all creatures and people have clean water to drink and live free from waterborne diseases. God of creation, hear our prayer. We pray for the leaders of the nations, corporations, and communities around the world, that they exercise wise stewardship over the environment and find creative and just solutions to protect all of creation and ensure climate justice. God of creation, hear our prayer. God, we thank you for the healing rain that washes the hills a luscious green. We thank you for the beams of sunlight that fall softly on a child's face. We thank you for butterflies, birds, and fish, stars and trees, all of these beautiful things you created for us. We pray that all your children see and wonder at this, and that the joy of these follow them through their lives. God of creation, hear our prayer. Blessed are you, Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Blessed are you, Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Blessed are you, Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who creates the fruit of the tree. Blessed are you, Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who creates the fruit of the ground. Blessed are you, Lord our ruler, ruler of the universe, at whose word all came to be. Amen.
Amen. As you're able, would you please stand? Do you believe in God the Father,